Greetings to you at home. I'm so grateful that we can reach you by email and by video. We are just really aware that this very unique situation in our world can cause social isolation and loneliness. Please know that we love you and we are here for you. Our wardens at St. Catherine's are working out ways together with our pastoral care team to connect with you and to help us stay socially healthy and spiritually healthy as a community. We are grateful that you are choosing to look after your own health and the health of the community. What follows is the prayer of the day, our collect, along with this sermon. And we just hope that this would offer you some encouragement as you stay at home through what is a difficult and anxious time. May God's grace and peace and love surround you. Let us pray. Lord of the wellspring, source of life and truth, give us the courage of the Samaritan woman so that we may receive living water and worship you in spirit and truth through Jesus the Christ who quenches our thirst. Amen. The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" "Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. The Gospel of Christ. My friends, I speak to you in the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of our lives. Amen. I have a friend. Let's call her Carol. It's not her real name. We met at church about 15 years ago, and she is quirky, but so am I. I just seem to be able to hide my quirks a little better than she does. She lives with a condition called schizophrenia. Carol is often sitting alone at church, even though she's worshipped in the same community for 20 years, and she volunteers on Sundays, on Tuesdays, Fridays. She's the bulletin folder and the pew sorter. And while she is present in this community, she is on the outside. She once described her life as a social deep freeze, that feeling when everyone is interested in everyone else and they put you aside for later. This is her constant experience, the social deep freeze, and she's gotten used to it. Surrounded by people, yet experiencing social isolation. Carol and I became friends because she pursued me. She was relentless. She said, God told me that we would be friends. How can you argue with that? And my friendship with Carol has mostly been me assisting her to navigate the healthcare system. But there is one memory I have, one encounter with Carol that continues to amaze me. I was in a hard space. I was working on the downtown east side at a community called Jacob's Well. And it was a new context for me, and it was a new role. And I was working hard, but seeing very little impact. So I pushed harder and I poured more out of myself, and I was slowly losing energy and burning out. One night in my apartment on my own, as a single woman who's a widow, I raised up my hands to God and I said, that's it, I give up. I just can't do this anymore. I am done and I am undone. And I went to sleep. About 5 o'clock the next morning, my cell phone rang. I looked at the call display, Carol. And I must admit, the first thought that went through my mind is, I need to teach her what is the most appropriate time to be calling. But when I answered, she said to me, I have had a vision. And I don't know if it's a hallucination, because that's part of her experience of her condition, or if it's a spiritual vision. But last night I saw you with your hands up in the air, giving up. And I have been praying for you all night. And I started to weep. It was such a moving experience being seen by Carol. It was a moment of Christ's deep love surrounding me. My story with Carol is actually an age-old story. It is a human story, and it is based on an archetypal encounter. And we find an example of it in John's Gospel in chapter 4. John's Gospel was written many years after Jesus' life, and it can often be hard to relate to. It focuses more on the mystical Jesus as the Christ, and less on the human Jesus that we find in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Yet because of the mystical quality of these stories, we can take them as archetypal symbols of our own experience. They provide mirrors for us that show our shadows and our light. Here, Jesus meets a person who is socially isolated and alone. They meet at a place that is a usual gathering place. It's a sacred site, Jacob's well. And it is a highly symbolized site. Wells were a constant presence for the Jewish nation. If you remember the founding fathers and mothers, as they moved from one place to another, would find wells as a gift from God, God's provision for them on their pilgrimage. It was at the well that Abraham's servant met Rebekah, Isaac's future wife. It is where Jacob met Rachel. It is where Moses met his future wife. Also, water became a symbol of source of life. If you remember, Abraham left his home city where his family were and took his family in search of water and fertile land as they began their journey. It was also because of water that the people doubted God in the desert, and it was in search of water that they entered the fertile land of Canaan. And so water becomes a symbol of the human being's most profound search. Jesus meets this woman at a well. The expected time for women to be at the well would be dawn and dusk, when they would gather, draw their water, and connect about the happenings of the day and the needs that they might have had. Men, tradesmen, herdsmen, shepherds, would come to the well at a different time. It was inappropriate to be there when a woman was there. Coming to the well during midday is unusual. Why is she there? What has caused her isolation? Why did Jesus come alone? Why did he approach her even though she was a woman alone at a well? Perhaps this woman was avoiding meeting other women. Perhaps her aloneness was a sign of impurity. Perhaps she was dishonored, ashamed because of her multiple relationships with men. In a society where single women were either absorbed into the husband's family if he died or cast away, Jesus' approach to her embodies a cultural and a gendered challenge to this woman's presence at the well. A Samaritan woman speaking to a Jewish man? Samaria and Judea, even though adjacent Israelite kingdoms and both Semitic people and descendants of the same original 12 of Israel, had been at odds with each other for centuries, and Jews didn't speak to Samaritans, let alone a single man to a single woman. The cultural stereotypes of this encounter would have been a conversation only about sex. That would be the barrier for a human man relating to a human woman. Yet Jesus relates to this woman, establishing with her a vital and liberating relationship with uprightness and respect. These are the shadows of the story. And the shadows of the story resonate with me profoundly and bring out the shadow of our own culture. Social isolation, aloneness. Many of us are experiencing self-isolation for health reasons in this strange time of a viral outbreak. Yet, in a survey last year by the Angus Reid Institute, 23% of Canadians expressed extreme social isolation and loneliness. 33% saying they can't count on anyone for an emergency financial situation. And 18% saying they can't lean on anyone during a personal crisis. And closer to home in the Greater Vancouver, the Vancouver Foundation's recent survey found that a third of 18 to 24-year-olds express loneliness almost always or often. Social isolation and loneliness is one of the biggest challenges of our time. It's a symptom of our culture's obsession with personal autonomy, leaving us living as I instead of we. And we reap poorer financial, mental, and physical health associated with isolation and loneliness. We find ourselves alone, even in places where people gather. The shadow of this story and of human culture. But in this archetypal story at Jacob's Well, we also see light, the light of possibility. Just in the chapter before, Jesus is in a conversation with Nicodemus, and you would think that Jesus would find more in common with a Jewish Pharisee, but we all know how that went. And so by contrast, Jesus' encounter with this Samaritan woman is a meeting of minds and hearts. Jesus embodies wisdom, and so does she. He talks about water, and then figuratively about water, and then Christ, and about anointing and change and transformation. And she tracks with him. She catches every nuance, every meaning, exactly. They go higher and deeper in sync with each other. It is an encounter of such mutuality that Jesus reveals his true identity for the first time in the Gospel of John. Bruno Bernhardt, in a book called Second Simplicity, writes, "The knowledge of Jesus Christ is a unitive knowledge. It is the luminosity of my own true and eternal being. In Christ's light, we see light." So Jesus, the Christ, standing before the Samaritan woman, becomes the mirror in which she sees not only the face of God, but her true face. It is like the surprise of Carol phoning at 5 a.m. and seeing me clearly. It is the thawing of her social deep freeze and of mine. Amen. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be always with you. Amen.